1 Timothy chapter 4, continuing our lessons here on the last day's cult. And some of you still haven't gotten that yet. You just think I'm talking. You just think, well, this is just a nice little deviation that he's made from the cult study. No, this is it. This is what God said. Now look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All right? I don't want you to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See? Listen, you can be in church reading and believing your King James Bible and still be in subjection to the doctrines of devils. You can depart from the faith and be in church. See? Now here's the warning. Verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Don't eat this and don't eat that. And you're starting to see that in pulpits. You watch Christian television or listen to the Christian radio, you're starting to see more and more programs on all this stuff. Now look, abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You'd never consider such a thing if you really believed and knew the truth. You'd see that stuff for what it really is as soon as it came out. Say, but this guy's a Bible believer and he's just trying to tell us the things that we can do, you know, nutritionally to you know, take care of our temple. No, this guy is giving you doctrines of devils. You're being seduced. Amen. Now, what does he say, verse 6? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. What nourishment do you need to be worried about? The Word of God, not all the different food you're putting in your mouth. Now, it's like I said before, you live in a day like no other. 50 years ago, they were just glad to eat. Now, we got to spend more time reading nutrition labels than we do the Word of God. And we wonder where God went. Well, it don't matter where God went, as long as you're fit and trim. That's what's important. Now, verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. That's all that stuff is. But you don't understand. I saw this on the Health Channel. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. What does he mean by that? Verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Why does he say that in the context of what we're reading here? But why bring it up? Last days, it's diet and exercise. You got it? That's the warning. You know what what's getting thrown at you constantly day and night? Diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. That's the stuff he's talking about right here. He says, if you want to be concerned about it, good. But let's be spiritual. Let's not be carnal. See? And the doctrine of devils is to twist and take from the spiritual and turn it into carnal. God's interested in you being exercising physically instead of spiritual exercise. God's interested in what you're eating instead of your spiritual nutrition. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, you don't. I know, but we'll get there. Let's go ahead and pray. Maybe that'll help some. All right. Brother West, ask the Lord to bless the Sunday School hour, please.
Lord, as you do all the Sunday school teachers this morning, Lord, as they're giving your words of light to those ears that are out there to hear, Lord. Just thank you for the teachers, thank you for the people that are here this morning, Lord.
Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to two places now. 1 Corinthians 6 and Mark chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 6 and Mark chapter 7. And I want to ask you something. If you could give me just an honest answer here. I want to see by a show of hands if we could. How many of you have ever either said it yourself or heard another Christian say something to this effect, I'm watching what I'm eating because my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. Now look at that. Now keep your hands up. Everybody look around. You know what that is? That shows you how the devil's gotten in the churches. Right there. The devil's made you afraid of what you're eating. And the devil's made you think that if you eat a certain thing, you're sinning. Huh? What is that? It's not from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost never told you to watch what you eat because your body's the temple. That's from the devil. Let me prove it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen, in the last days, what the Holy Ghost is preaching against ain't food. It's adultery and fornication. It's sexual wickedness. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. It ain't about what you're eating. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then we'll look in Mark chapter 7. Look in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13. Meats for the belly. You know what your belly's for? Put food in it. That's what it's for. Say, what kind of food? Any food you want. Put it in there. You know what food's for? It's for your belly. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. Amen? And guess what? God's going to destroy both of them. Where's your stomach and intestines going to be 143 years from now? But you're so worried about it? You're vain. You're vain. But I'm worried about my figure. I know. You're vain. You're worrying about things that don't last. Yeah. Why do you think God had to promise you a new body? Listen, you know what's going to happen to that body? God's going to let that happen. That's what He thinks about your body. You think something about it. He don't. The only good thing about it right now is it's holding your soul, and because of that, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and not forget about it. You think it's wonderful? You think it's something? Run around this building 7 times and let's smell you. We'll see how wonderful it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fat and carbohydrates. God could care less. He just told you that. What's He worried about? Fornication. You'll worry about what you eat, but then you'll go sleep around. Go commit adultery. Go on the internet and look at your pictures. And then worry about your food labels and think because of that you're a good Christian. God help us. God hath raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Yeah, He's going to give you a new body. That's the promise. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What is he talking about? What's the reference? Fornication. Okay. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So you command them, you forbid them to marry, so that they'll be tempted to fornicate. But then you tell them, worry about what you eat, because your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now you see how subtle that's the devil. And that's what's going on in our churches today. Not in all of them. I'm not, you know, not picking on every church. We're the only right. You know, I'm not saying that, but by a majority, and the Bible told you it would happen in the last days, what would they do? Many, the Bible says, will depart from the faith. Now, look here, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? In reference to what? Verse 18, fornication. Don't commit fornication because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He says over there in chapter 3, you defile the temple of God. If you defile the temple of God, God will destroy the temple. Right? Look back there in chapter 3. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Oh no, I ate a baked potato. God's going to kill me. No, it should be, oh no, I committed fornication. Oh no, I committed adultery. See? Marriage is an honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. Amen. This stuff isn't talking about food here. Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, he ain't talking about what you eat. Let me prove it to you. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I'm going to show you that whole thing about everybody raising their hand and saying, well, I defiled my temple because of what I ate. Not according to Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 7. Is the Bible true? Is it the Word of God? Is the devil a liar? Alright, we're okay so far. Verse 18. He saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Well, most Christians, yes. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? You can't defile yourself by what you eat, according to Jesus Christ. Is that what he said? Verse 19. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. What is that? Well, that way you can make Ezekiel bread. You know what God said? It don't matter, because whatever your body doesn't need, it gets rid of. How about that? All right. Verse 20, and he said, I feel it. Right? But what about, listen, you just need to get to the point where you say, God, I'm full of the devil, help me. Because all I'm doing is giving you a Bible, and yet there's something in you saying, but what about, and now why? Somebody's been working on you. Verse 20, he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Is that what you're really worried about? That's what you should be worried about. You ought to be worried about what's coming out of your heart, not what's going into your mouth. We had a chance to worry about what went into our mouth. Our great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. And they blew it. Too late for that now. Now just worry about what's coming out of the heart. Verse 21, from within out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's how you defile the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wickedness. So you want to keep, you're worried about your temple still? Isn't it convenient you can be worried about your temple when it comes to not eating French fries more than once a week? But also when it comes to this, like, wow, I don't know about that. I thought you were worried about your temple. God told you what to do to not defile it. That's what ought to be being preached in churches if we're worried about the temple of God. Preaching against that stuff there. Amen. All right, now, let's go a different direction. Romans chapter 1. And this is where all this is going. That commanding abstain from meats, obviously, is vegetarianism. And that's the push. And of course, you got PETA in the animal rights groups. And listen, the main push for vegetarianism isn't as much for your health and diet, although that's what they're saying, as it is that they think animals are God's creatures and they're children of God, just like you and I. After all, you used to be one. We just evolved from them, and so we shouldn't be eating them. To which I say, fine. Soon as you get the lion and the shark to stop eating meat, I will. Yeah, okay. Romans chapter 1, and here's this is the cause for all that. Romans 1 and verse 23. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What they do? Instead of God being God, they make man and animals into gods. See? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. So what do? You end up defiling the temple. Between themselves, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the cow more than the Creator. See, the creature, the animals. More than the Creator. Man, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now that's where all this New Age stuff, listen, all it is old Hinduism. That's what it is. In Hinduism, the idea of don't eating the cow, you know why they don't eat it? It's an ancestor and it's a god. That's why you don't eat it. See? And that stuff gets, see how that thing gets twisted and all of a sudden it's religious now? Now you see it? See who's behind that? You get that little dot in your head? There's Hindus, they get that little dot in their head and they won't eat meat? Huh? Okay. Like the Roman Catholics on Ash Wednesday? And they won't eat meat? There's a spirit. You know who was a vegetarian? Adolf Hitler. Good spirit? Powerful spirit. Wrong spirit. Antichrist will be a vegetarian, I figure. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. Because he loves God's creatures. Yeah. See? All those, listen, all the PETA crowd and everything, they don't have a problem killing people. They don't have a problem with babies getting aborted. But they have a problem with, killing the baby seal. Then why aren't they out there killing all the sharks? You know who's killing most of the baby seals? Well, are they concerned, really? No, they just hate you. So why? It's the devil leading them. Who does the devil hate? The devil don't care about the sharks. He cares about man. All right, now look back in Genesis chapter 1. Let me show you how this whole thing... Well, Adam and Eve in paradise, weren't they vegetarians? If we need to get back to paradise, then we should become vegetarians. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. I guess if you want to smoke pot, there's your verse. You ever run into one of those people? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with smoking pot. After all, God made it. Yeah, He made poison ivy, too. That doesn't mean He wants you to roll around in it. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. All right, what were they eating? The herbs and the fruit. Yeah, peaches and herbs, or whatever. That's what they ate. Why? There was no death. There was no shedding of blood at that point. See? Now, look over in chapter 2 and verse 9. Chapter 2 and verse 9. And out of the ground. All right, where's all this stuff coming from? Where does all your food come from? All of it? All of it. It all comes from the ground. Now you add a little sunlight with the water in the ground, and you got food. That's where it all comes from. All right? I know you're all trying to think of the one exception right now. I understand. Verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat this, don't eat that. God said, you can have everything, you can have everything you want except for that one tree. Huh? And what happened? One thing they couldn't do, boom, they did it. So that just shows human nature there. But God said you could eat all that stuff that comes out of the ground except for that one tree there. God didn't even tell them not to eat the animals. They just didn't have a desire to. He never had to tell them not to eat them. See? It just, they had no desire to because there was no desire to hurt something or shed blood. That didn't come about until after the fall. Then you get Cain and Abel. See? Not until after the fall. Look over there in chapter 3. And so here's the fall. They disobeyed God. They ate a piece of fruit. So watch out, fruit's bad for you. If I wanted to prove something, I could, couldn't I? Right there. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it. Where do we get all our food from? From the ground. All right, now, look over in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Noah and them, they get through the flood, get over onto the other side. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now, God cursed the ground, Adam and Eve, and all their children start to die. But they all live to be around 900 years old, right? After the flood, you know what God said he did? He cursed the ground again. Now how long do they start living? That age just keeps going down and down and down until what you got now, 70 to 80 years. You know why? Because the ground, according to the Bible, is cursed. So eat your green leafy vegetables. They're the closest thing to the ground. If you eat fruit, it's a little further from the ground. If you eat animals, it's twice removed. What would be best for you to eat? Now you see, that's Bible. You know what God did? He cursed the ground. You know what that means? No matter what you do? Well, we've looked into it and we found out that yogurt will kill you. Now, I want you to take your favorite food and put it in the place of yogurt. Because you know what? You could do a study on any food on the face of the earth and it will kill you. I can tell you how to live forever. Don't eat. You won't partake of the curse. But then you'll die because you starved to death. So, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die. It's already been settled. Now, couldn't God take that curse back off and let us live to at least be 900 years old? Sure he could. That's what he's going to do in the millennium. Why do you think he shortened it up? Well, how many people you got on the face of the earth right now? What if everybody had still lived to be 900 years old? We would have killed each other a long time ago. There'd be nobody left. God knows what He's doing. See? He's got the thing figured out. We have to catch up sometimes. Here's Cain and Abel. Abel, a godly man, bringing his offering to God. What did he bring? Meat! What did Cain bring? You understand the Bible is 180 out of what's being shoved down your throat today? You're getting doctrines of devils and you don't even realize it. But, preacher, I've heard of cholesterol and fat. And all right, go on. Keep going on. All right, fine. Stay in fear. But don't get mad at me because I don't want to join you. I'd rather just fear God and do it His way. Because in a little while, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get into the verses. I can show you how you live a long, healthy life. It's all through the Bible. Now, how come you don't know that, but you're worried about eating too much fat? Now listen, the problem is, you know what you need is animal fat. It's good for you. You know what they did instead? They said, no more animal fat, let's go to margarine. Let's go all this other junk. And listen, it's all the synthetic stuff, it's all the diet stuff that's bad for you. If you just eat regular food, you'd be all right. They did it for hundreds of years and it worked out fine. We're all here because of it. Here's Jacob and Esau. Well, Esau's doing fine. He's got the birthright. He's got the blessing. He's out being a mighty hunter, bringing in the venison. Until one time, a mess of pottage got him in trouble. He was fine when he stuck with the meat. Think about it. When Jacob wanted to get the blessing, he didn't bring pottage to his father. He brought meat. Now, I'm just giving you Bible. It shouldn't upset you any. Now, here's the whole thing. Diet and exercise. See, look back there in 1 Timothy 4. They've got churches now that got Christian aerobics, Christian yoga. And the Bible warned about it, and he told you it was old wives' fables. You know what you think? Well, if I exercise, I'll live longer. Verse, chapter and verse. Anybody? Now, if that was true, wouldn't have God showed you that, told you that? You think He's against you or something? Because there's all kinds of verses in here how to live long and be healthy. And if that was one of them, He would have told you. Instead, you know what He said? Just the opposite. Well, it does profit little, but the there we go. All right, we're back.
Okay, we're back.
Amen. All right, now, what was I going to say? Oh, bodily exercise there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, I'm telling you. Devil gets in this stuff. 1 Timothy 4, electronics, stuff like that. It's the prince of the power of the air. All right, now, look here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Right, we were fine on the food, but we got on that exercise, and all of a sudden the devil said, whoa. Now look, right here, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. What's he saying there? You're wasting your time. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, right? Listen, here's Joel Osteen. Well, it's important for us to take care of our temple, and we should exercise. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, Paul said that it just profits little. But, you know, let's face the facts. Back then, Paul, they walked everywhere they went. Hey, moron. The verse said in the latter times is when exercise profiteth little. Didn't it?
Yep.
But that's Joel, so you can go follow him if you want. Help yourself. Doctrine of devils.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, doctrine of devils. See? But we need to work out. And we listen, I work out. You do? No, I listen, if I didn't, I'd be buying a new wardrobe all the time. I even go on diets sometime. Yeah, I do. See? Sometimes you know what I do? I don't eat. That's a good diet. Amen. See? Nothing wrong with that, is it? Sure. Yeah, here I am. And I work out. Because if I didn't, I'd weigh 300 pounds. So you know what? I do that. You know what that's for? That's just me. I don't take that to God and say, look what I did for you. That's what I did for me. That's all. I'm just trying to save myself some money. So listen, I'm not saying you can't diet. I'm not saying you shouldn't exercise. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with spirituality. All right? Nothing at all. If you want to exercise, help yourself. And if you don't, help yourself. You really think exercise helps you live longer? You know who lives longer? It's the scholars. It's the brains. It's not the jocks. All the professional athletes, when they all die in their 70s? Most of them. Them runners out there, they die of heart attacks in their 50s. Yeah. That ain't doing nothing for you. You know what you're doing? You're wearing your body out quicker. You know what you're doing? You're using up more nutrition so you have less for the things you really need. Huh? All right, drive a car hard and fast all the time and drive one, just take it easy with it. Watch which one lasts longer. Now, I encourage you to exercise. Listen, look here in verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Look back at verse 7. Refuse profane and old wise fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godly exercise. That's what we ought to be interested in. That's what needs to be preached from the pulpits. Not Christian aerobics. How about revival? How about fasting and prayer? How about preaching and teaching the Bible? Let's get some godly exercise. It's good for you. Exercise is good for you. You need exercise. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to show you how you can exercise and be healthy. According to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Go for it. Go all out. You're trying to win the Olympic marathon. You're trying to win the Boston Marathon. Run all. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may attain. How does he want you to live your Christian life? Like you're the one trying to win the prize above everybody else. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Listen, you're out there working out as an athlete. You're trying to win some event. You know what you do? You train your body. You keep your body under. Right? I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to do that because I'm in training. I want to do the best I can in this event. God says, we need to do the same thing. Keep your body under. Keep your body in subjection. Because you're trying to win something.
Amen.
But see, it ain't about food. It's just about keeping your body in subjection because you're in training to win a prize. Our race is not a physical race, it's spiritual. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for what purpose? To win a corruptible crown. It ain't going to last. But what we're doing for eternal benefit, for eternal rewards, not for a carnal, physical one down there. I therefore so run, Have you been running? He's not talking about physical running. He's talking about a spiritual race. And it's a marathon. How you been doing? How's your training going? Are you taking it that seriously that you're going to get first place? That's Bible. That's spiritual exercise. I therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Godliness. That's the exercise you need. Godliness. Look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And 16, verse 16. Acts 24, verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself. Here's Paul's exercise. To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. You know what good exercise is? Don't offend God. Then don't offend man. If you've got to make a choice to either offend God or offend man, offend man. But you're supposed to be striving, you're supposed to be exercising yourself to be in a position where you never offend God. Of course, we live in a generation where everybody's worried about themselves getting offended instead of God. But the exercise you're supposed to be doing is to make sure you're not offending God. Amen. We okay so far? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Baby can't eat meat. Even those who by reason of use, using the meat, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You start growing in the Bible, and after a while, you know what's supposed to happen? That exercises you to be able to tell the difference between what's really good and what's evil. Without exercising, you're not going to know. Okay? If you really want to be able to identify what's good and what's evil, you're going to have to exercise. Spiritual exercise. Stay in the Bible. Move from milk to meat, to strong meat. Amen. Look over in chapter 12, Hebrews 12. Now I'm giving you some good exercises here to be doing. This is the exercises we need to be concerned with. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. What if Christians actually spent as much time exercising themselves towards godliness as they did out there with all the, you know, they got the Christian weight rooms now and the... Just somebody making a buck is what it is. Verse 11. Off the suckers. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's not fun to get a beating, is it? Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You want good exercise? Let God beat you. You know what's been happening this morning? You've been getting good exercise. It's going to get you in shape. See? Training. Good training. Get some preaching. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost just get up there and rip your face off once in a while. Yeah. That's good. Listen, that's good. That's godly exercise. Those are the things that we should be concerned with. That should be our emphasis. Amen. All right, we're going to skip section 9. We'll go to 10 real quick and try to finish up there. Acts chapter 17. Here's the thing in all of this. Everybody is so worried about, does it have the right amount of vitamins and does it have... And what you end up having to do to get really the vitamins you need is there's no way you can do it eating food. Okay? It wouldn't matter what you ate. Their list of vitamins and minerals that you need is so long, there's no way. Well, I'm using the food pyramid. Good night, man. You'd need one about the size of a pyramid. That's how much food you'd have to eat every day to get all they're saying that you need, all your vitamins and everything else. Yeah. The best has more vitamins in it per square inch than anything else you're going to eat? Beef. Yes, sir. You eat a steak, you get more vitamins than you could eating 50 pounds of spinach or anything else. That's the truth. That's where all the vitamins are. That's where the minerals are. They're in flesh. Yeah. But let's get off of that. The point in all of that is you're so worried about, but what if I don't get enough vitamin C and vitamin D and vitamin F and vitamin T or whatever? Right? People didn't even know about those things for 6,000 years of human history. And they got along just fine. You know why? They ate what they wanted to eat. Or what they could find. There was people during the Depression for 4 or 5 years that lived on sweet potatoes and biscuits. How? And some of them are still alive today. How could that happen? They didn't get the appropriate food requirements from the food pyramid. You know what it is? They prayed over their food. Now here's the thing. Look in Acts, where did I say? Acts chapter, thank you. Acts chapter 17 and verse 21. This is America. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. What's the newest study out? What's the newest, latest, greatest vitamin, mineral, diet, exercise program, whatever? And it changes every day. You understand that? They just came out with a thing on the news last week, taking vitamins is bad for you. I swear to God, and it probably is. And all this time, you've been spending all that money, and you're hurting yourself. That couldn't be. I heard Dr. So-and-so on TV say, uh-huh. Second Timothy 3. Let's go quickly. 2 Timothy 3. We just read it. Verse 21. You're welcome. The Athenians love to tell or hear or tell some new thing. It's news. It's how much news program? You got 24-hour news now. Why? Yeah. Everyone wants to hear or tell some new thing. What's the latest study? The thing that ought to alarm you isn't that the latest study said that bacon's okay for you. The thing that should alarm you is that they spent $200,000 to find that out. To find out that food's good for you or food's bad for you. Well, I needed a study for that. Thanks. Let's spend a couple more billion dollars to go up to the moon again so we can get some more rocks. But they can't figure out how to cure the common cold. You know. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to have to go long this morning. I hope you don't mind. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be... There's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Lovers of their own selves. That's why they'll spend all the money on the diets and the vitamins and the health shakes and all the rest of it. Listen, I didn't say any of that. You do what you want to do. Liberty in Christ. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, not that call unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, look at me, I don't eat meat, I'm godly, but denying the power thereof from such turn away, for this sort of they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to help you come to the knowledge of the truth concerning food. Look with me in Daniel chapter 1. Of course, Daniel and his buddies have been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And there are some of the, Daniel and his buddies are some of the real whizzes. They're real good in science and understanding those things. So Nebuchadnezzar doesn't want to kill him. He figures he can use him. Just like, you know, when you take the German scientists after World War II and bring them to your side. Same kind of a thing. Hold on, I'm just looking up something here. Wanted to make sure I didn't forget. Okay. Daniel chapter 1, and what happens now is they're supposed to eat of the king's meat and of the king's wine. Problem is you know how what they did with that food before they ate it? Sure, it's sacrificed to idols. Right? So you understand? Daniel's not trying to be a vegetarian here. Daniel's just trying to obey God. So look what happens in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are your sword? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat. Anybody know what that is? Split pea soup. Some kind of pea or bean just smushed up. That's it. Say, what are we going to eat? Just that. You think you can get all the vitamins and minerals that you need eating just that? Huh? Well, they ate it for 10 days and they looked better, so you know what it did? I'll let you eat it the whole time. And so for, listen, 3 years, they ate nothing but pulse and water. And they were completely and perfectly healthy. How could that happen? God did it. God did it. Now, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you're really concerned about what you're eating, the Bible told you what to do. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 4. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified. What does that mean? It's clean. It can only do you good. It is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Do you really believe that? That's why we pray over our food. Do Americans pray over their food anymore? No, you know what they do instead? They rush to the labels. They rush to the FDA. They rush everywhere except where they need to be going. You want your food to be good for you? God told you what to do. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Amen? Give thanks. That's what Jesus did. When He took that bread and them fish, you know what He said? He gave thanks. A correlating passage, it says He blessed it. You want your food blessed? You know how it gets blessed? When you give thanks. Amen. And it says it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. The most important thing isn't what are you eating this. You eat whatever you want. The only thing I encourage you to do is be thankful and pray over it. And ask God to bless it. Amen. Because listen, we just do that so often, don't we? Lord, thank you for this food. Please. Really? Have you ever thought about it? What you're doing there? What you're asking? Amen. I think if we'll just trust God and do that, we'll be all right. And then you know what will happen one day? You'll die. Unless Jesus comes back, folks. That's what's going to happen to every single one of us, no matter what you eat. All right? It's not about that. It's about eating and nourishing yourself from the Word of God. It's about godly spiritual exercise. Do what you want on the physical side. I don't care. But we're going to keep that stuff out of the pulpits and out of the churches. Because in the last days, the Bible said what would happen. And health and wellness and nutrition and exercise will become part of Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. Let's keep it separate from Christianity. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Don't let it get part of it. Or you'll be seduced by devils, according to the Bible. All right, we'll try and conclude this series, this study, Lord willing, next week. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Brother Bill, if you'd close us in prayer, please.